So today I want to talk to you about why it's important to choose the right persons to influence you and to hopefully for you to learn a lesson from my experience about what happens if you choose someone who you should not look up to in terms of validation. Now, first of all, let me kind of throw this out of here. Let me be the first to tell you that despite all my accomplishments, I've made some very poor choices in my life. And in most of those instances, it was guided by the fact that I was seeking approval from people who did not necessarily deserve the energy I was giving them in terms of seeking their approval, meaning I was looking to them for guidance, but they didn't necessarily warrant the attention and the energy that I was giving them. The earliest time that I can think about where I had a situation where I sought guidance from someone I probably shouldn't was in high school. Now, just to give you some background, for me, I grew up in a single parent household with a single mother who was a school's teacher in the state of Arkansas. So we're talking back in the 70s and the 80s. And high school for me was in the mid 80s, like 84. And so I had a single parent mother who was active in my life. And then I had an absentee father who was 4 years away. Now, in order to understand how I got to a point where I was open to be receptive to someone who may not necessarily have been the best point of guidance, you have to understand a couple of things here. First, I had a mother who was very proactive in my life because I lived with her. And I also had a situation where my father wasn't there. So here's the situation where it creates itself. When I was being raised by my mother made a concerted effort to make sure that my impression of my father was solely my own. Now, she was very aggressive about making sure that I had a lot of positive male role models in my life. And she made sure that I had exposure to them as much as possible, which was easy considering that my grandfather was there. She had five brothers who were all influential in my life. And I went to church with her regularly. And there was a lot of positive male role models there. So you can see I was surrounded by countless positive male role models. However, the role model I was really aspiring to seek to look up to and get approval from was my father. Now, as I mentioned before, my dad lived 4 hours away, but he could have been 4 million miles away because I rarely saw him. I would see him for a few weeks or even a couple of months if I was lucky in summer. And if I was lucky, he would show up for Christmas. And I won't even tell you the countless disappointments along the way where I was hoping that he would do certain things and he did not. Where he said, I'm coming to do something and he wouldn't show up. I can tell you the number of times my mother would be arguing with him to tell him to stop telling me that that he would do something for me and then not do it. And effectively, she knew the impact that it would make on me, but I don't think she really understood how much of an impact it was going to make on me. So I was operating under this unique balance where I had a mother who was always there for me and a father who was not. So even though I had a positive role model in my life in terms of my mother, and she made sure I had plenty of other male positive role models around me, I still, in some instances, found myself seeking out approval from other male figures, which brings me to the individual that I'm talking about. So in high school, I joined Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps, JROTC. And the person there who influenced me was our JROTC instructor. I won't mention his name. Now, I come from a military family, so I've got uncles who served in the military. My grandfather served in World War II. Another uncle served in Vietnam. Of my mom's five brothers, four of them served. So I came from a military family. So participating in JROTC and eventually joining the military was a natural thing to me. There was just something, the people that I looked up to, this is what they did. So I definitely knew this is what I was going to do. So the first officer that I had the opportunity to be exposed to was my JROTC instructor. And he was a major. He was a pilot. He had actually served. I believe he may have even served in combat, if I don't miss my guess. And so here was someone who served active duty, served in combat, presented himself in a particular manner, and I looked up to him. Now, I don't necessarily know if he knew I looked up to him, or more so that he knew I valued his opinion, but I did. So fast forward to my senior year. At the time of my senior year, there was probably two of us that I would call academically at the top of the food chain in our ROTC program. So there was me and my good friend, John. John and I have been friends for years. We grew up together. My mom was his school teacher in kindergarten, and with his sisters as well. We came up through the school ranks together. We were natural rivals, but we were really good friends. And so we were naturally competitive, but from a good standpoint, meaning that we were both actively involved in so many things together. We were pretty much equal in terms of GPA. We both took the same classes. We both were in a lot of the same activities. But I was often taken aback by the fact that my JROTC instructor seemed to be giving more attention to John than he was to me. Because in my mind, I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the level of attention that John was getting. Now, John wasn't, you've got to know John. He's a great guy. He's not someone who's looking to cut you at the knees or anything like that. And I guarantee if I brought it to his attention back then, he probably would be like, I don't know what you're talking about, because that's not how John was. It was something that I saw. I did not look at John as the villain in this instance. I was looking at this instructor as, you respect John for all these things. I'm doing just as much, if not even more so. Why am I not getting this level of respect? Because why? I was hungering for his approval and I was seeking his validation. So here we are, we're in my senior year. And I'm going back and forth between deciding where I want to go to college. When it came time for me to look for colleges, I had two thoughts in mind. I was either going to go to an HBCU, following the path of my uncles and my mom, or I was going to go to a large Division I school, a school that I believe would have a wealth of resources, which is what I was used to going to my school. So that was what I was thinking of at the time. So in my mind, I either wanted to go to a school that had a big-time school environment, a big Division I, because I had attended a big school, or an HBCU because the large majority of my family members had gone to it. Instead of just relying on my own instincts, or more importantly, talking to the people around me who were in a position to give me guidance, I got focused on the fact that the one person that I was really trying to earn respect from was not sharing with me whatsoever their feedback about what I should do. And so you're probably asking yourself, What is he telling John? Because of course, clearly I'm listening to what he's telling John and I'm thinking he's talking to me, because I'm thinking he should be telling this to me. Why is he telling this to John? What's he telling John? Well, he was telling John that John should think about going to a school in Florida called the University of Tampa. Now, for those of you who don't know, the University of Tampa is a small private liberal arts school. It's considered one of those schools, like an Ivy League school of the South. There's a certain percentage of the population there that are affluent. It's probably about 1,700 students at the time. And so he was pressing, because at the time there were a few universities that if you received an ROTC scholarship, you could also get the room and board paid for by the school. ROTC scholarships at the time typically only paid for, tuition and fees and books and fees. But some universities had partnerships with the military, so that if they said, if you came here on ROTC scholarship, we throw in room and board for free. UT, University of Tampa, was one of them. So that meant if you got an ROTC scholarship, ROTC portion would take care of it, and UT would take care of the room and board, which effectively would make going to the University of Tampa a full ride. Now, I need you to understand this. This school, I knew nothing about. I didn't know anything about the University of Tampa, nothing. I didn't know about how many students were there. I didn't know what the curriculum had to offer. I didn't know any of those things. Now, what I did know is that I knew that the person that I wanted to earn the respect from was telling my good friend that he should go to this school. So I convinced myself that I needed to go to that same school so I could demonstrate to him that I could be a success. Now think about that, how crazy that is for a second. I'm not trying to go to a school because it's offering me the best opportunity for success. I'm not going to this school because it has the best bio program, because I was going for pre-med at the time, or had an awesome ROTC program, or had a great sports program, or had all these things. No, I was going solely to prove to someone that I can go to the school that they recommended for someone else so I could earn their respect, because I wanted their approval so bad. So again, 17-year-old me, take a wild guess of what happened. I put all my eggs in one basket. That is where I committed myself to try to go to the school that my RJROTC instructor was promoting to my friend. So here we go. And Let me tell you how this unfolded. First thing I had to do was, of course, take a standardized test. I took an ACT, didn't do as well as I liked, so I switched and started taking the ACT. And I don't know if the scores have changed, but for those of you who've never taken standardized tests for college, the way it typically works is that when you apply and you put down, you know, the information, you usually have to share information like your GPA. You use it to share information about some of your extracurriculars. But more importantly, is there's an indication on there, I don't know if they still do it, where you basically indicate if you want your scores released en masse to a whole bunch of different schools. So if anybody wants to find information about you, they can. And of course, you got your demographics. I mentioned I was African-American, all that good jazz. So I took the ACT, and I think the first time I took the score, I got a score about 20 or 21. I think the highest score was 35. I may be wrong, but I think that's the case. So shortly after that, I got a scholarship offer from a school. I had no clue about it. Alcorn State University. And for those of you who are like Alcorn State, or Alcorn State University is a historically black college university in Warman, Mississippi. Very good school. And I got into school, and I was familiar with it because I have an HBCU in my hometown. We played them in football on occasion, and so I was familiar with the school. They sent me a school telling me that they were going to offer me an academic scholarship. And I'm like, okay. Now, I was flattered, but again, remember, my mind is focused on University of Tampa. So what do you think I did? I took the test again because I wanted to see if I could get me a higher score. And I did. And I got a 23. Shortly after getting a higher score, I received another letter from Alcorn State University. In light of my score going up and the information they had already had on me, they offered me a full scholarship to Alcorn State. This university offered me a full ride, no debt. And I didn't even consider it. Strike one. So then I took the opportunity to apply to the University of Tampa, as well as apply for an ROTC scholarship through the Army. Now, for those of you who are not familiar, let me explain to you again how this typically works when you're applying for Army ROTC scholarships when I was in high school. When you're applying for the Army ROTC scholarship, what you have to do is you have to submit an application, undergo an interview, as well as perform a brief physical training test. So I submitted my application, and I had to go through my interview and my PT portion at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. Again, historically black college university, which meant I had to be interviewed by one of their cadre members who happened to be a lieutenant colonel. So I got a chance to go through, submit my application, go through the process, do the mini PT test, and the last portion was the interview. At the end of my interview, the lieutenant colonel who had interviewed me pulled me to the side. And he said, you realize that there are two tracks for an Army ROTC scholarship. I said, okay. Track number one is what we call the nationwide track, which is the one I was actually in. That means you're competing against students for the scholarships across the entire country for all universities. So I'm competing with kids who are valedictorians in their class, salutatorians, private school kids, you know, kids who have family members from affluent families. I'm just the whole nine. I'm competing for kids who are trying to get ROTC scholarships to small schools like the University of Tampa, or even larger schools like Cornell or USC, whatever the case may be. So that was the one track. The other track is what we call the Quality Enrichment Program track, if I remember correctly. And that is for historically black colleges and universities, which means I would only be competing against other potential candidates who are trying to get an ROTC scholarship into an HBCU. And I can tell you, after almost 40 years, I can still remember these exact words that came out of his mouth. He said to me, you are currently in the nationwide track. If you were to switch to the quality enrichment program track, I can guarantee you that you can get a full ride, full ROTC scholarship to any black college in the country. That means I literally had the opportunity to go to college to a litany of schools, whether they be in Texas, Florida, DC, Pennsylvania, anywhere in the South, for free. Guaranteed. Here is the second time that I have been put in a unique position where someone has literally said, I guarantee you your success. And just like I said with Alcorn, what do you think I said? Nope. Don't put me in the HBCU track. Put me in the nationwide track. Because I wanted to be able to prove, because at this particular point, I didn't look at him as saying something that was helping me. I was looking at him saying to me that I couldn't measure up. And all I heard and felt was the same person over here, my other JRTC instructor, thinking that I couldn't measure up. And I wanted to prove them wrong. But again, I wasn't thinking, because at this point, I'm still trying to impress someone who was not impressed with me. University of Tampa wasn't a HBCU. I'm trying to get into this school and show this guy what I can do. So guess what I told him? No, leave me in the nationwide track. So guess what that was? Strike two. Strike one with Alcorn State, strike two with the ROTC scholarship to HBCUs. Now you're probably saying to yourself, was there a strike three? Yeah, okay. So sadly enough, what happened was, right after that, probably a few months later, a bunch of friends of ours, I went to a college fair in Little Rock, Arkansas. Just a bunch of us, just hanging out. And I was stopping at a table, and I stopped at this one particular table. It was Grambling State University. Grambling. Oh, I knew Grambling. Everybody knows Grambling, especially in my neck of the woods. The Bayou Classic down there between Grambling and Southern, they played us in football. You knew Grambling. When they came to town, it was all in a poppin'. And so this recruiter pulled me to the side. He was talking to us. It was me and a couple of young ladies. And I remember him asking me some questions about me. So I'm telling him my GPA. I'm telling him my accolades, what I want to do. And he stops me halfway through because I'm telling him I want to be a doctor. I'm telling him I want to serve in the military. I'm telling him all this. And he says, with your accolades and your background, if you commit to Grambling, I can promise you two things. One, I can promise you a full ride. Two, we can make you becoming a doctor a reality. And I'm saying, what? And I'm pausing on this. I'm like, what are you saying, bro, man? Bro, man was serious. If you say today, I want to come to Grambling State, I say, we'll make sure your school is paid for, and we'll make sure you become a doctor. And what do you think I said again? Yep, strike three. No. Even though I'm sitting here with no clue how I'm going to pay for my own school to go to University of Tampa, because I didn't have any knowledge of that whatsoever, three opportunities for success with no debt, guaranteed ability to get in the military, guaranteed ability to help me prepare for me to go to medical school. And I said no all three times. Now, this wasn't a situation. And again, for all these situations, this had nothing to do with me not wanting to go to black colleges. This had nothing to do with me looking down on HBCUs. This had everything to do with the fact that I had put all my stock and energy into wanting to impress one specific person. That's all I had my mind focused on. And so guess what? I did. I got down there and I didn't have a scholarship. I think they gave me an extra $2,500. At the time, I think the school was like $16,000 a year. That's to let you know how far we've come in terms of how much it costs. But I only got like $2,500 from them for a leadership grant. I got another $500 of a Pell Grant. I got most of that was paid for with a student loan. That first year was student loan heavy. And then I didn't have an ROTC scholarship. I joined the ROTC program, but about a year and a half in, I got lucky and I got the opportunity to get offered a 2.5-year scholarship, which ended up paying for the rest of my school. And so for those of you who are wondering, how did you end up paying for the school before that 2.5 year, before you got to that 2.5-year scholarship? Student loans, college work studies, grants. I became an RA, and then ROTC kicked in. Now, I've told people before when they talk to me about this, I'm like, listen, I had a great experience at the University of Tampa. It was very different from what I was used to. You know, like I said, I came from an area with a large HBCU. I came from an area where the population of African Americans at the time was like 60% to a school that was 95% white. I had never been exposed to that. I got exposed to people from different countries, different cultures. I had a great experience at the University of Tampa, so I just need people to not think I'm knocking UT. This has everything to do with the fact that I chose to make my life decisions based on trying to impress someone that I probably did not need to give as much importance to. So the moral of the story was that I guided my decision-making by putting my faith and energy into trying to gain the approval and validation of someone who did not deserve that energy. And unfortunately, I did not know how to process taking that energy away from them. I had no idea. No one ever told me that before or taught me about how to make sure you have the right people in your life. When I was doing this with him, nobody knew that's what I was doing with him. And my mom, I love her to death, she never asked me why I picked the University of Tampa, because she did not want to influence my decision making, because she had given me so much autonomy to make my decisions. None of the people in my circle asked me why I picked this school. So had they did, and I explained, I might have been guided accordingly. So it's important to recognize this. Now, I was very fortunate that in the end, everything worked out. I had doors open to me as a result of going to the school. I ended up getting into the graduate school. I ended up joining the military. I ended up going to law school. I ended up becoming an attorney, running my own law firm. A lot of things happened after that because of my decision making that was beneficial. But I need you to understand the one little simple thing about this. When I was making those decisions, nobody was asking me why I was doing it. No one was talking to me. And here's the other funny point. When I went to college, I never talked to that JRTC instructor again. I never shared with him anything I did. I don't know or care whether or not he knew at the time, but once I left Arkansas, my connection to him and his influence stopped. There were moments early on that I thought about transferring out because I'm like, I'm not here for the right reason. And then what ended up happening is I fell in love with the school. And so I fell in love with the school because there were people there that started showing value to me about me. And so as a result, the school took on a greater degree of significance. But what was funny was that when I left, after I graduated from high school, I never sought his guidance out again. I never worried about his opinion. His opinion ceased to be relevant. And it could have been very easy for me to drop out of that school and transfer to another school because this, in my mind, having the realization. But once I got there, there was a part of me of arrogance where I wanted to prove to myself that I made this decision, I should be man enough to stick it out. And I'm glad I did. Is there a part of me that kind of regretted that I didn't take the HBCU route when all those opportunities and doors were open? You better believe it. And I'm a strong believer and supporter of the awesome, awesome educational prowess and preparation ability of HBCUs. And any schools that are proactive about reaching out to students to try to say, we can help get you to where you want to go. Because there's plenty of kids who probably turn their backs on schools that probably would have done more for them than the school or the dream school or the ideal school. But this is not about that school. What this is about is that when I was in a position to make a decision in my life, I did two things uniquely wrong. I put a lot of energy into giving someone the ability to influence me that didn't need that. I chose the wrong person. And unfortunately, the other thing is I didn't tell anybody what was behind my choices, so they didn't have the opportunity to intervene to let me know that that person was not worthy of the respect that I was giving them, because they were not giving me that respect as well. So I say this to you as a long-winded story and hopefully as a cautionary tale that, listen, pay attention to the people that you allow to have influence over you in your life. And sometimes, just sometimes, you may have to ask yourself if that person is worthy of the energy that you're giving to them, because their insight may not be as important as you think it is. And remember, when you are looking for others to value you, you must value yourself equally as important first, because anything they're doing should be supplementing the impression you have of yourself, not serving as the foundation for it. Again, this is Anthony Reeves. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this helps you out. And if you got any feedback, please let me know. Take care. We'll be right back.